Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Rick, y'all powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Everybody's favorite point spread expert, Todd Furman, joins us from Las Vegas. Todd, what does it feel like to be a TV star?
I wouldn't know what that feels like. So eventually, if I gain that status, I'll have to let you know. Right now, I'm trying to take as many reps as I can. I have a long way to go to earn the same presence that Dawn has on the sidelines for all her games on SEC Network.
Hey, let the 3HL crew know what you're doing TV-wise, where they can find you.
Sure, they can find us every day at 3:30 Central Time on Fox Sports 1, a show called Lock It In, alongside Cousin Sal, Clay Travis, and Rachel Bonetta, talking about the biggest storylines in sports through a gambling lens, trying to pick a few winners. So if you're going to do that, follow my pick, Fade Clay and Cousin Sal, and you'll have all sorts of wealth and riches beyond your wildest dreams.
Yes.
I love the opportunity that you have to talk smack and they can't respond.
Oh, it's tremendous. The best part about it is, and I don't know if I should disclose this, but I will anyways, Clay's actually on a little bit of a delay, so we can take shots, and he just looks like he's slow, taking his time to come up with comebacks. So Cousin Sal and I have been eating that up, and hopefully some of the folks at home notice that it looks like Clay's taking a little longer to try and fire back witty responses.
All right, three games in college football involving two top 25 teams. Want to get your take. Boise State at Oklahoma State, Cowboys by 2.5, 2:30 on ESPN.
And this, I think, is one of the more fascinating games of the day when you consider this will be Boise's only chance to take on a team from a Power 5 conference. Even with a win, I don't think it'll be enough to get him into the college football playoff. I mean, neither of these sides has played a team with a pulse thus far. You look at what Boise State has done when they're installed as an underdog. I mean, going back to 1993, this team is 27-14 against the spread as a dog. I mean, pretty mind-boggling when you consider those facts. A much more veteran team than Oklahoma State. I think Brett Rippon has accomplished more in his collegiate career than Taylor Cornelius has. I really believe that the wrong team is favored only because of home field advantage. Don't be surprised if this number closes much closer to pick 'em. Boise, the better defense, in my opinion, the better offense as well.
Awesome. Ohio State at TCU. That's the primetime game on ABC. Ohio State by 13.
I think a lot of people are going to try and make a case for backing the underdog here in TCU catching 13 in the de facto home game. But I would temper some of those expectations because we know the Scarlet and Gray are going to travel. And this will be the first time, ironically enough, that Ohio State returns to the scene of the crime when they won the first ever college football playoff and the first meeting between these proud programs since 1973. Urban Meyer's absence might be felt, but I actually like what I've seen out of Ohio State's offense, albeit against two cupcakes in Rutgers and Oregon State. I think they'll be able to stretch the field. I ultimately think they'll be able to control the trenches. And while I love Sean Robinson and what he brings to the table for TCU, this may be too big a stage for the youngster thus far. Don't be fooled with the underdog here. I think the favorite rolls.
I do too. Thank you. At Todd Furman on Twitter.
Thank you for confirming. Yeah. How about on the loveliest village on the plains, LSU visiting Auburn, the Tigers favored by 9.5.
I think this is going to hurt all LSU fans, but I'm not sure how the Tigers score, and that's the Bayou Bengals. I look at Joe Burrow, and he was supposed to be the saving grace at quarterback. I feel like I hear that every time LSU gets a Big Ten transfer, and they quickly remember why he had to transfer out of a Big Ten program where he wasn't able to play. LSU defensively, they're as stout as ever, but I just don't think they're going to find it very easy sledding against this Auburn defensive line. Jared Stidham and company know that they got their wake-up call a season ago, squandering a 20-0 lead against LSU. And with a number like this and such a low total, it's very attractive to try and make a case for an underdog. And you hate to say it's deja vu all over again, but all the talking heads wanted to make a case for South Carolina being a live dog against Georgia. Don't get bitten by the same trap again here. There's a reason LSU is nearly a double-digit dog. Auburn wins, they win comfortably, and I'd be shocked if LSU scores more than 14 points.
Hmm. Don likes that.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Todd Herman, our guy in Vegas.
You know what? Every now and again, I have to say nice things about Don's Auburn Tigers because I can tell you one thing. The schedule they have coming up is an absolute bear. So if they don't win this game here, it could be a very rough season down there in the Plains.
Yeah, great point. It's brutal.
There's some really big numbers in the SEC this week, including...
Hold on one second, Mickey. Hold on one second. Before we talk about big numbers in the SEC, do you want to defend your alma mater for their performance last week against the SEC?
No,
happened.
I got no defense for that.
Okay, that's fair. Neither I appreciate a man who's honest.
Yeah, neither do they. We're all in the same boat, Todd. No defense.
All right, continue, my friend.
Just down the road, Middle Tennessee at Georgia, 33.5 this morning I saw on ESPN.
Yeah, this is a big number, and this is the kind of spot where I'm not going to make a case for either side. Georgia, I have to imagine, goes through the motions, and it's a very workmanlike effort on the heels of their dominant performance against South Carolina. If you're Coach Stock still in Middle Tennessee State, your only goal in this contest should be to emerge healthy. That's plain and simple. Their task at hand is to try and compete for a Conference USA championship. They would love to obviously pull a massive upset, but a game I haven't spent a ton of time trying to handicap. Obviously, a class difference. It's just a question of if Georgia wants to be there.
Colorado State and Florida, another one, just because of what happened with Kentucky and Florida last week. Florida, I saw 20.5 was the last number I saw there.
If Florida can score 21 points, they're the only way to look in this contest. Colorado State got a pretty impressive victory, winning outright, catching two touchdowns last week, hosting Arkansas, but they were down 18 points at one point in the game. I think Florida gets their wake-up call, you know, losing to Kentucky last weekend. I just have some real skepticism about how explosive this offense is, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if this game ended 31-3 or 31-7. I think Florida realizes they have to get things figured out pretty quickly before they take on Tennessee.
Vandy's got a heck of a trip ahead this week to see Touchdown Jesus and Notre Dame, and Ball State made Notre Dame really uncomfortable last Saturday.
They did, but I think Notre Dame feeling uncomfortable against their in-state rival was more a byproduct of the kind of effort and play calling that they had to exhibit in getting through Michigan the week before. They're going to get Notre Dame's better shot than what we saw against Ball State, but that hasn't stopped professional money from trickling in on the Commodores. This number opened 15.5. It's now trended down as low as 13.5 at betonline.ag. And when you try and handicap this game, my concern is, has Vanderbilt really been tested? I mean, Middle doesn't apply any real level of physicality in the trenches. The win against Nevada last week, workmanlike there. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach. If Vandy acquits themselves nicely here and can keep this game competitive, they may be a little bit more formidable than I gave them credit for coming into the season.
UTEP at Tennessee. Tennessee a big favorite in advance of Florida week.
Are we really, this game, we're really going to spend time on this, right?
I mean,
you know, we look
Tennessee
at this,
fan would be like, hey, why didn't you ask him about the Vols?
Todd, I'm working this game this weekend.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to see.
Don, it's yet another in a continuing trend of games that won't be competitive. So Tennessee is 30.5 point favorite. Total in this game, 47. I mean, UTEP more or less a bottom feeder in all of the FBS. Tennessee, yeah, I'm not sure if they can score 31 points even against a 7-on-7 drill if team's going to apply a little bit of resistance. But I'd want no part of backing the Miners here. I had a chance to watch them for about 1.5 against UNLV. Tennessee works out the kinks. They'll start to build a little bit of confidence before they have their annual SEC showdown a week from now.
Alabama at Ole Miss, Crimson Tide by 21.
Awfully crazy a couple years ago if I'd have told you Alabama in an SEC game was going to have an over-under of 71, and I actually think this total is a little bit low. I mean, you look at Ole Miss last week, and they let Southern Illinois go up and down the field on them. I actually did a double take at one point when it was 42-38. I figured it was a final. I didn't realize that Ole Miss could cover as a 4-touchdown favorites by giving up 40-plus points. Bama may score every time they have the football here. Jordan Tamu and Miss Ole Miss, they're going to be able to pick up plenty of points in garbage time. I don't want to make a case to lay 21 here for the Tide, but I do think there is actually a little bit of value, assuming the weather holds up in Oxford, to go over 71.
Wow.
71.
Wow.
In an Alabama
game. It's
going
to be a long game.
Let's go Southern Cal at Texas. We talked about earlier, that was one of the great college football games of all time, but as Mickey said, these are two different versions of those schools.
Very
different. It'd be a lot more fun if Vince Young was out there against Matt Leinart to try and relive some of that glory. Although these two teams did give us a very entertaining affair last season. Texas, of course, massive underdogs in that one, came up a bit short at the Coliseum in double overtime. But I look at both of these teams trying to figure out their identity, and JT Daniel dealing with a little bit of a hand injury. I mean, he spent more time on the grass last week against Stanford than he would like. You look at the lack of playmakers that emerged for USC, but Texas pretty fortunate to even beat Tulsa outright despite being 23-point favorites last weekend. If it wasn't for a drop touchdown pass or two and three missed field goals, we could be talking about Tom Herman starting to dust off that resume. At 3, I feel like this number suggests that USC is ultimately going to decide. If I had to bet this game, and thankfully I don't, I think under 48 makes a lot of sense. I just don't see a lot of big plays.
So the AFC South for a minute before we let you go. One of the most intriguing games really in the league this week in the NFL, New England at Jacksonville.
Yep.
And I think this is a game where Jacksonville can exact a little bit of revenge from the AFC Championship game that got away from them. You look at New England, and they have done nothing but line backers pockets. 29-10 against the spread their last 39 games. 13-3 their last 16 away from Foxborough. And oh, by the way, 22-7 their last 29 against AFC opponents. But you guys know me well enough that that's not going to stop me from making a case for Jacksonville. I think they're better at almost every position on the field except quarterback. You're going to see their level of physicality make it difficult for New England to get open in the passing game. And unlike last year in the playoffs where they blew a double-digit lead late, they're not going to make the mistake of employing any zone coverage. Even if Leonard Fournette can't go, and I really believe he's going to be out there even if it's 75%, I think Jacksonville empties the cannon here, and they realize this is a game they need to prove to themselves that they're viable contenders in the AFC.
All right, Tennessee with Marcus Mariota in the lineup. If there are no setbacks this week, the line just came down. Houston by 2 on the road in Nashville.
And I think the big concern isn't only Marcus Mariota being close to 100%, but it's the injury to Delanie Walker, who's kind of been his most reliable receiver over the last few seasons. The injuries on the offensive line to Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin still not back. So when you're playing without your right and left tackle against a defense that can get after the quarterback like Houston, I know it's not what Titans fans want to hear, but I think it's another uphill battle in this particular spot. Yep. I look at the total at 45. I'd make a slight case for going under the number, but anything less than a field goal, I think the Texans are only going to get better week after week as Deshaun Watson starts to trust that knee. And I really believe the Titans will be staring down the barrel of an 0-2 start when we have this conversation same time next week.
Todd, if Tennessee and Florida played Saturday in Knoxville, what would the line be?
Given Florida's performance last weekend, I think you would see the Gators as short road favorites. That might surprise some folks, and it wouldn't shock me if the market opens differently, but I am still down on Tennessee, and I have a real hard time making a case for Balls, even being a live underdog, with short numbers until I see more continuity out of the offense. But if Florida were to struggle here and Tennessee look like gangbusters against UTEP, I wouldn't be surprised to see that number come down even further.
If somebody were to hypothetically, I don't know, give you 15 points in Tennessee, would you do that?
I would be more than happy because I think Tennessee's defense I have a lot more confidence in, and I'm not sure Florida is equipped to blow anybody out, especially on the conference road. And it was only last week at the Swamp where we saw, you know, Florida as a 2-touchdown favorite fall flat on their face. So I really believe this game can be a little bit more competitive than anybody wants to think. So I would make a case for taking the 15 if I had that opportunity.
Wrong answer, Todd.
Gee, I wonder who might have offered that.
I may have thrown that at the mayor over there. I may have thrown that bet at him.
There might have been some Naomi on the other end of that conversation, too.
Don, we can work on your odds-making acumen a little bit as we go. Thankfully, you know, as a sideline reporter, you're going to put us all to shame. As an odds-maker, though, we still have a little work to do.
That's just Monopoly money. Hey, thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.